I am so thankful that we are able to gather together this morning on this first day of the new year and celebrate communion together. Communion is always a special time, and I think it's a great way to begin a new year, especially maybe this year, more than other years, just to focus us in on Christ, on who Christ is and what Christ means to each one of us. So I am just thrilled that each one of you are here this morning, that we're able to have this time of worship together today. Before we kind of get started into looking at communion and talking about communion, and then at the end of the service doing communion together, I do want to just take a moment and give a thank you. For those of you that are worshiping at home, you're worshiping at home because Greg Moyer saved the day for me. So with our switch over to the new streaming system, I was able to go so far but could not get beyond a certain point. That's just my technical abilities, limits. And Greg was so willing to come in and help with that project. And from what I'm understanding, everything is going glitch-free today, which is a huge, wonderful blessing. So thank you, Greg, so much. Let's give Greg a round of applause for helping us with that. It's all these things that a year ago it wasn't even on our radar now, right? But it's certainly on our radar today, these kind of switches. So I want us to start this morning talking about the Lord's Supper, about communion, and how it came to be. I don't like just kind of throwing communion on to the end of a normal message and just including it without there being some teaching about it, without there being a focus on why it is we're doing what we're doing. So I want us to start by talking about how it even came to be this morning. The entire nation of Israel, what was being held as slaves in Egypt for some 400 years. And it was a severe time for the Israelites, as the Egyptians were feared and were hated. They were harsh, harsh people. The Pharaoh hated them and kept them impoverished. And finally, after 400 years of this treatment, the entire nation of Israel called out to God, Scripture says. And when that happened, God began going about His work, and He led them into their freedom. But it took a whole nation to do this. Really, it's kind of like the promise that we can read about, that we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When God said this, He said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." What a promise, right? If we as believers will come together and pray, they'll forgive their sins and restore their land. No matter what a nation might be going through, right? The enslavery of the Israelites. When the real believers of that nation turn towards God with all belief and reliance, God promises to help us personally and as a land. I believe that it might be fair to say that America, North America, is going through some tough days. At least that's kind of what I found on social media on New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, with everybody's postings of "I'm so ready for 2020 to be done" kind of thing. Today could have come soon enough, I read. Or hoping for no repeats of 2020 and 2021. That kind of stuff was all over multimedia or social media on the 31st into the 1st this year. And this, in a sense, I'm going to call it good riddance attitude of 2020, is because of many factors, obviously including the obvious ones are the pandemic and politics and race tensions and high unemployment and loss of tens of thousands of jobs and businesses. It certainly has been a challenging year for many. We cannot deny that. It's no wonder why culture is having such problems. Why it feels like life is completely out of control for some people. Or how we have been divided in this nation almost beyond repair. Thank God that He's a God of miracles. Because I really think it's going to take a miracle to bring us back together as a nation in the days, the months, the years ahead. Maybe it's because instead of praying for God's help, as He's told us to do, maybe we're facing some of this stuff because we just try to handle things on our own. Scripture tells us, it's a shocking idea, right? That we should do just as ancient Israelites did. We should turn to God. Not everyone, just those who are called by His name, those believers who truly do seek to be like Christ. God told the Israelites that at their very last supper as slaves, they were to eat a meal that He described in detail for them. And do so with your sandals on so that they would be ready at any moment's notice to go. He also instructed them to eat that meal yearly in a celebration of what He did for them. And now, Jesus is in Jerusalem to eat the Passover meal with His disciples. And later, Jesus gave the Apostle Paul very important information as to what happened at that meal. And I want us to pick up and read that together now. And that comes from 1 Corinthians. If you're following with us in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we're going to. And we're going to start at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, I'll give you a second to get there, verse 23. So starting at verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" And then it goes on. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." And that's where we'll stop this morning. The Passover meal is referred to as the Seder, right? The Seder is this religious ceremony with a really carefully prescribed ritual that makes this dinner different from any other meal that the Jewish people would have been enjoying. The dinner is a ritual, and it's laid out in books for them exactly how this meal should take place. This Passover meal celebrates for the Jewish people how God passed over the Jewish homes and spared them from the death of their firstborn. And it also celebrates God's leading them out of slavery. It was at this meal that Jesus changed the meaning of the Last Supper as it pertains to believers in Him. For the Jews of today, they still follow God's command and they eat this meal every year in celebration of His leading their ancestors out of slavery. But Jesus is now telling all the Christians to eat this meal in remembrance of Him and what He has done for us. And ever since then, Christians have observed this meal, this thing that we call communion. The early Christians met secretly in their homes to to remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since then, the church has been celebrating what we call communion, what we're going to do in just a few minutes. It's interesting that Jesus never told us to remember his birth, even though we celebrate that. We just celebrated that, right? December 25th. He didn't tell us to remember the day that he rose from the tomb, but yet we celebrate that too. The only two ordinances that Jesus commanded us to remember are baptism and the Lord's Supper, communion. We certainly remember baptism. As Pastor Larry shared just a little bit earlier, we're having a baptism service at the end of this month. It'll be a great time of celebration as we celebrate the public declaration of a commitment to Jesus Christ that somebody has made. We observe communion. I think the message behind the communion, the message of being set free from the bondage of sin should humble our hearts to the Lord as no other celebration does. Unfortunately, I think sometimes we take communion way too lightly. In reality, it's an opportunity for us as believers, for us as Christians, to worship Jesus by remembering the incredible sacrifice that He willingly made for our sakes. That's a huge deal. Nobody else in your life has made that kind of a sacrifice for you or for me. As we continue, I want to explain what just some of the verses are that we read earlier today, what they mean and how they should impact us to some degree. First thing is this, the writer Paul, this information was given to Paul by Jesus. And he was given this information so that Christians throughout time would have a solid understanding of what communion really is, what it represents, what it means, the significance of it, and how to properly celebrate it together. At the Last Supper, all the disciples were seated around the table, it says, with Jesus. At the beginning of that meal, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he offered it, a prayer over it, a prayer of thanksgiving to God for that bread. And then he took a piece and he passed the rest to his disciples. In verse 24 and verse 25, Jesus told us that the bread and the cup represent his body, his flesh and his blood. Just as his body was broken and drained for our sake, the bread is broken and the cup is drained at the meal. And we are called to remember that each time that we partake of those two elements. Our passage this morning also tells us that this ordinance is for followers of Jesus, for people that know Jesus personally, have a relationship with Christ. And if you have never experienced a personal relationship with Christ, really, you should not participate in this ordinance because it will have no significance or meaning to you. When we take communion, we should remember what Christ did for us. We should, in a sense, relive with Jesus Christ as much of his life and death and resurrection as humanly possible. We'll never know and understand the full sacrifice, but as much as we can humanly gather from what we read, from maybe movies that we've seen that portray the brutality of what took place, we should try to relive with Jesus as much of his life and death and resurrection. Each time we observe communion, we must remember how holy that moment is and what it means to our very salvation. It's a time of honoring him for His sacrifice for us. Verse 26 tells us that as we do these things, we are proclaiming to ourselves and to others the fact that Jesus died for us and that He promised to come back for us. As we take communion this morning, remember what God's Word says about Jesus. Remember what it says about Jesus. Remember that He, meaning Jesus, left heaven to be born in a human body for you and for me. He became poor that we might become rich. He bore our sins in His own body on that tree that day that we celebrated Easter. He took our place on Calvary. He shed His blood for our redemption. He conquered death for us. He ascended back into heaven. Those are the things that we should be remembering as we come to a point in taking communion today. Verse 27 and verse 28 both give us a clear warning about how we partake in this meal, and that's important to point out before we come to the point of communion this morning as well. We must ensure that our hearts have nothing in them that would distract our focus away from the Lord Jesus Christ as we take communion. There's a sharp warning in there for us. We are told that if we eat this in a manner that is not worthy of Jesus, then we are purposely sinning against Him. Wow. Purposely sinning against Him. That's why Christians should never take the elements if they have something in their heart, such as unforgiveness. If you have something in your heart today, a sin, a sinful attitude that has you in a place that causes separation between you and Jesus, please don't take communion this morning. It's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. And it's godly to do so. We're following the instructions of Scripture, right? It's godly to do so until our heart is clear of any such sin. If we partake in communion with a heart and a mind that is not fully focused on Him, Scripture says it's a sin. And we're bringing that sin into the presence of Christ. Here's just one last thought. Communion is a time for us to declare publicly that we believe in Jesus' death and His resurrection, and that they were for each one of us. Communion is our opportunity to take a stand for the redemption and and to loudly proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ and our dependence upon His sacrifice. Communion is a prime time to identify ourselves with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that I'm not the only one that will remember this as children. I'm sure others of you here will have the exact same memory. But as a child, many of us, I think, can probably remember our parents, our mother or our father, as we were coming in from being outside and playing outside for hours and hours and hours, and it was dinner time, they would come in and they would tell us to go wash up before supper, right? Well, that's what the Lord is telling you and me this morning. Is your heart in the right condition to come into the very presence of Jesus and receive communion today, or do you need to wash up before dinner? In a moment, we're going to take communion together. And as we take communion, there's going to be a song playing. I just want to encourage you this morning to listen to the words of that song. Hopefully each of you have received by now one of the communion cups with the wafer. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't used these things yet, they're a little bit tricky. There's actually two little tabs on it. There's a clear one and then the purple one. To pull off the clear one will get you the wafer that tastes like cardboard. And to pull off the purple one will then get you to the juice. So as you take communion, just remember that you want to pull the clear one off first. But as we come to this time, I encourage you to listen to the song that's being played, to the words of this song. As we take communion this morning, be reminded of the need to make sure that we're in the right place with Christ if we're going to observe this and participate in it. As I've always told you, as long as you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as long as you understand what it is that we're doing this morning, you are invited to do it. You don't need to be a member here. You don't need to regularly attend here. You are just invited to participate. Nowhere in Scripture does it put those limitations on communion. And we're certainly not going to do that here. So we would invite you to participate. Before we start the song, I want to reshare two verses as a reminder to us as we come to this part of the service. Verse 24 and verse 25. In 24, Jesus said, "This bread represents my body, which is being given to you. When you eat of this bread, do so in remembrance of me." And then in verse 25, Jesus continued by saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my shed blood. Each time you drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me." Remember, we just spoke a few moments ago about what we should be remembering. That he left heaven to be born in a human body. He became poor so that we might become rich. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He took our place on Calvary. He shed his blood for our redemption. He conquered death for us forever. And he ascended back into heaven. That's what we're remembering. That's what we're celebrating as we take communion together this morning. We can go ahead and start that music.
crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
The worship team come up and prepare to lead us in our closing song. And as they do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did pay it all. That because of your love for us, you were willing to send your Son to pay the price for each one of us. So this morning, Lord God, as we've taken communion together, we started this year off focusing on you and your goodness, your greatness to each one of us. Heavenly Father, may we remember that tomorrow and the days ahead, the weeks ahead, and the months ahead. No matter what this year holds for us, Lord God, may we remember that you are with us, that you love us so richly and so deeply, that you are willing to send your Son to take our place, to pay our price. That is such a deep love that we will never be able to understand. But we thank you for it this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.